Aether and Dark Saga is a dark fantasy audio fiction. It contains themes of violence and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Wow. Feels like a very long time since I last spoke those words. Chapter 2, Part 1, Rowan.
Are you sure this is the right way, Orin? This just looks like more swampland to me.
Without a doubt, lad. I can't easily forget the smell of the marsh. Nor this bloody fog. It's not as thick as it was last time, mind. Couldn't see more than a few feet ahead back then. It ain't that much better now. I did only have a lantern on me at the time. And the light from that, well, it doesn't hold a candle to Kriya.
Fuck me, that was terrible. Make sure you stick to hunting, Owen. You'd make a poor living as a jester.
Well, at least it's not raining. I'm only just starting to dry off from the last lot we had.
You just wait till we get to Ironworth, lad. That's when you'll know what feeling damp is really all about. The fucking mist never seems to ease off around there.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, you made the right decision picking this place, Owen.
Why? And why's that, then?
Not even those skinless freaks would want to come here. The smell is foul. I'm tempted to just run back to Galindor now, or drown myself in that marsh.
Oh, is the brave knight afraid of a little bog stick? Try gutting an elk or a bear. Now, that's a smell.
You're forgetting that we've slept near you, Orin. We've been around far worse smells than that.
He's right. Your arse smells like a hellmouth vomited up an abattoir.
All right, all right.
Oh.
Any sign of the keep yet, Kriya?
Don't try and change the subject, Bamer. She smelt your midnight winds as well.
Come on, I'm not that bad. And even if I am, I'm blaming that ale we got in Greywatch. That'll be the foulest tasting brew I've ever had. I nearly didn't finish all of it.
I'll give you that one. My guts haven't been the same since we left there. I know they were making the best of what they had, but still.
Yeah, I stopped eating the meat after I hadn't seen a rat in days. And not so much as a kitten for even longer.
It's a good thing we left when we did. After the stores dry up, there's only ever one thing left to eat.
By Lenarin, I hope I never get that hungry. I think I'd rather just starve to death.
What worries me the most is there's a good chance of that happening, Rowan. Especially if we're forced to eat old bony arse or in there.
What is this? Pick on the handsome hunter there. Hey, here we go. There's the bridge. The village isn't far off now.
What's the problem?
I can't see what you're pointing at, Kriya.
This was a lot easier when Brannick was about. I'm sorry, lass. I didn't mean it like that, just... If you mean the road of the keep, you can cross that way, but the waters rise very quickly out here. It's It's not worth risking it. I wouldn't trust anyone but a local to guide me across it. Even then, these marsh folk can be more treacherous than these waters.
Yeah, and I'd like to stay dry for as long as possible, thank you. Let's take the bridge.
I'm not sure if this is what Cree's going on about, but I can't see a single flame, not even a glimmer near that keep.
He's right.
No torches, no brazier. It's the one thing we would be able to see through the mist.
Let's face it, we'd have torches lit if we didn't have Kriya's magic. Do you think it's been attacked?
Normally, I would say since we're already here, let's at least go and have a look. But, can we risk the storm? I don't think we have a choice, really. We can't go back without having to spend a few nights in the marshes. And those screamer hounds, they haven't sounded this close since we left Galandor.
What if we just push on, all the way to Elantir? How far do these marshes go, anyway?
Well, these marshes, they're basically just run off from the fjords further east. There is a river, the River Ain. It opens up across the border into Elantir. I've not been to the southern regions before, so I can't say how far we are from shelter, but anyway, we'll be stuck in the wild between here and there for days.
What about a boat? Even if the village is deserted, there's bound to be one there.
What? Big enough for horses? Not likely. I'm not much of a rower besides.
I say we take our chances with the village. If there's no one there, we'll just gather some supplies, or whatever we can. Move on to the keep. Do the same there, but just stay for the night. Then we can move on to Elantir in the morning. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I can agree with that. Sounds like a plan. What do you say, Orin?
Looks like the lady's already decided for us.
Hey, Freya, where are we?
The bridge held tight as his horse navigated its warp planks. Bored and mold-shrouded, they creaked under the weight of his companion's mounts. Looking past Kriya, who rode ahead of the others, Rowan saw Ainworth village come into his view. Amongst the dense layer of fog which hung thick in the damp air, he could make out the homes and dwellings, the vast majority of which sat upon thick wooden stilts suspended from the sodden marshland below. Green mildew stained the wooden boards that made up their walls, with half-rotten fishing nets adorned on almost every one. Crawfish baskets, rusted or rotten through buckets, as well as broken oars were commonplace fixtures here amongst the mist-bound settlement. The ground sucked at hooves in their passing. Sludge like mud, a mixture of both silt and soil, formed around the indentations that filled up with brackish water. The village was empty, devoid of all signs of life, though as to why, Rowan could only guess.
I can't see anyone around.
There's some tracks in the mud here, and over there. But they're all heading off towards the water for some reason.
Well, I'm guessing we ain't going to find any boats then.
Looks that way, lad, aye.
The man of Gilglaz reached down, patting his mount's flank in a motion of comfort, though the effort was more for him than for the grey mare he sat atop. Affixed to his saddlebags and wrapped in thick cloth, hung from a makeshift scabbard, rested an arming sword. It, like the mount, did not belong to Rowan, yet he had taken guardianship of both Anvadar's blade and his mount. The horse, Stormur, as she was named, had not truly been Anvadar's either. The mare had once belonged to his great love Yima, and after her passing, the icon of war had taken her as his own. In regards to the sword, Rowan had not so much as held Breaker's hilt since the day he found it, laid upon the shattered mosaic tiles in Vengard's great hall. A strange thing had happened to the weapon, though he knew not what nor why. Its oiled leather grip was seared and burned with finger-like scorchings. The keen edges of the blade, which had remained razor-sharp, were now marred by black oil-like stains. Somehow, whatever this substance was, it had merged with the blade, as if it were some byproduct of the forging process. Yet another question without answer. Just like the fate of its former wielder's corpse, for Anvadar's body had disappeared from Vengard entirely.
What should What's she going in there for? We're best off heading to the keep now before it gets dark.
Rowan turned his head to see what Orin was speaking of. Kreia had dismounted and was guiding her horse inside one of the wooden hovels which served as a marsh folk's home. This, and like many of the others, was not raised upon stilts and instead seemed to have foundations on solid ground. He flinched and shivered as a stray droplet fell from an unseen height, landing in the narrow gap of his exposed skin between his cloak and unkempt locks.
Oh, feels like it's starting to rain as well.
Might be a very good reason as to why this place is deserted. I don't really want to find out why. The sooner we get the fuck out of here, the better. Let's just head up to the keep, eh?
Just stop and think about it. That's where the village folk are. They're up there. They left here for the safety of the keep's walls. My father always talked about if Gilglas was ever attacked, the townsfolk would probably come and seek shelter within our walls. Makes sense.
So, what are you suggesting? We stay here, we go to the keep? You're just babbling, Rowan.
I'm just saying, maybe they didn't flee from cultists or hounds or whatever else is out there. Maybe it's safe here. Let's at least look for some shelter from the rain, eh, before we all get soaked.
Aye, let's face it. It's not like Cree is listening to anything we've got to say. She's likely got her bedrolls out now and is half asleep. I think that might have something to do with your big mouth, Orin. I wasn't thinking, all right, I just... No, you're right. I do need to apologise properly.
If I were you, I'd leave it for tonight, Orin.
Oh, aye. Got one of your intuitions again, lad? Or is this you speaking from experience?
Let's just say, a bit of both.
This is a good spot, Kreia. Plenty of room for the horses as well.
Good evening, my lady. Could we three weary beggars, perchance, seek shelter in your most wonderful estate? The road is cold, and as of but a few moments ago, wet. Can I, an unworthy dog, nay, a flea upon a mongrel hound, find a place to rest my lowly arse in your wondrous abode, O maiden fair.
Rowan grinned as he saw the annoyance on Cree's face melt away, her incredulous scowl replaced with a wide-mouthed smile. She shook her head as she chuckled. Her shining yellow eyes seemed to brighten all the more in the laughter.
Right then, let's get this lit. Some food cooking, eh? I'm fading away, yeah? You're not wrong there, Rowan. You're that much of a skinny fucker. I can only see you when you turn sideways. Oh, here we go. Come on, then. Keep the insults coming, Cormac. We'll see who laughs last. I'll be having extra beans tonight.
Sigmir.
This'll be your first time laying eyes on the sea, is it not? Don't see many vanish out here on these waters, eh?
Not the first time seeing it. But my first time upon a boat, yes.
The light of Yindos shimmered upon the slow rolling waves. The question caused him to reminisce upon a conversation he had held with Braedic, words exchanged in what seemed like a lifetime ago.
Friend's a gloomy one. Doesn't seem to talk much. A mute and a grum. Can't make for good company, I say.
He cannot speak the common tongue.
Oh, a foreigner, eh? Where's he from then?
The young Ven's mind raced for an answer, but he did not have one. He feared they would soon learn the truth of his companion, and yet more bloodshed would follow.
I,
Look, if you don't want to tell me, That's fine. Wherever it is, they breed them big. He's the biggest man I've ever seen in my life. And as long as he's not a Baloran, he's welcome aboard, I say.
You have my word. He is not Baloran.
I thought as much. Your lot hate him more than us Arturians. Oh, well. I guess I'll leave you to your thoughts. Captain will have me hired if he finds me missing, I say.
My thanks. Oh, before you go, how long before I can see the desert? It's something I've wanted to see for a very long time.
Well, we haven't reached the Sundaran coast yet, lad. A few more days, and we'll be docking in Tervendel for final supplies. And that's about as close as we're going to get to that cursed place. From there, heading straight out to Gael-Gulay.
But we paid to reach Sundara.
Blood money had secured their passage, taken from the corpses of refugees fleeing the carnage within Kalimdor's walls. They, like many others, had been unfortunate enough to cross paths with Sigmir and his captor.
Look, I'm sorry, lad, but the destination has always been Gael-Gulay. We're fleeing trouble, not looking for it elsewhere. Listen, you'd be wise to pay the captain to stay on. Arn's just lost. Lost to these devils and the beasts they worship. Won't be long before the whole continent is burning us, eh?
He knew more so than any aboard this vessel the full scale of the man's words. And he was in company with something he was sure to be far worse than any cultist or demon. But for their sake, as well as his own, he would feign ignorance.
Is it truly that bad?
It is. My own homeland. Once noble, just, proud and fair. Well, it's nothing more than slaves and cults now. Some evil hag. A demon queen, to be true. See, she's taken the nation as her own. Cast out Lenarin's faithful. She's slain thousands. And then there's talk. The same in old Kalimdor. Just don't know how lucky you've had it. Being sheltered back in those Venice lands, I say.
Sigmir felt the approach of his travelling companion. That bone deep chill that was always there crept its way back as it drew near.
Well, anyway, I best be off. Think on it, boy. It's for the best, I say. And good day to you. To you both.
And to you also.
The sailor turned quickly, keen to leave, never glancing back as he scurried below deck.
I trust you have not betrayed my identity, son of Olaf Druin.
I have not. How could I? I do not know the answer myself.
True enough. I should remind you of the repercussions of such actions.
I... No. You do not.
He wondered if he really did want to know the truth of it all. If knowing just what this creature that had commandeered Anvardar's body truly was, or would, in its learning, make the thought of continuing unbearable.
The sailor told me they will dock in some place known as Tervendel. Then they will...
The now emotionless face of Anvardar stared through him as the creature within spoke. It had always stared through him. The bright grey eyes of its host hid the darkness within. But just one look at them, just one gaze into those steely grey orbs, felt like gazing into the face of a predator ready to feed.
This vessel will reach Anshariad with or without the compliance of its crew. I shall see it done.
That was Chapter 2, Part 1 of Aetheryn Dark Saga. I know this has been a long time coming, and I hope you're all as excited as I am to finally be here in Season 2. As per Season 1, Episode 2 will be in the regular feed in the next 2 weeks. Unlike on the Patreon, where Parts 1 and 2 are now both available. So if you just can't wait to hear what's next, $2 a month will get you early access to each of the episodes, as well as exclusive content and lore. As always, thanks for listening and remain vigilant.